And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and welcome back to me, because we had Bobby Dooley filling in last night. I think she did okay. Did you listen at all?
I listened to a little bit of it. I thought it was interesting.
You're not, you don't want to say?
Well, I don't want to criticize. I thought it was very interesting. I thought she did a good job. She had on the man that you're going to have on later.
Yeah, I already called him up. He said, come on.
Yeah, I want to get this guy, Emilio Fandango, back on the show, because while he was talking to her and she didn't really press him, he was saying, you know, he's in charge of security for the Western Estates homeowners community there, but she didn't press him on his security techniques. Apparently, this guy is looking in bedroom windows.
Well, I heard a little bit of that. I wasn't quite sure of what that was about.
Yeah, you know, Phil, can I...
Go ahead, General Shaw.
Yeah, security is a very difficult job. Now, I was in charge of and I don't want to take too long, I know you're starting your show, but I was in charge of a military police battalion early on when I was in the Army, and I can tell you with great assurance, it is not an easy job.
Well, I understand that, General. These are not cops, though. They're just security guys.
Yeah, but still the same thing.
No, it's not, because you're not arresting people.
No, it is not, Bud. You're not supposed to carry a weapon. You're not arresting anyone.
Yeah, but what about, like, if somebody tried to take a knife and stab you, I'd have to cut him, you know?
Yeah, you gotta cut a man if he's gonna try to cut you.
What do you mean by cut you? What is that?
Stabbing.
Oh, yeah. Well, we used to say, you know, if you ever saw the rebel without... He says, there's no sticking... Just a little jabbing, you know.
Well, we're not talking about a knife fight here now. We're talking about... Anyway, the guy's going to be on later on, and we'll talk to him and see what he has to say, you know.
But understand that as a military policeman, we had to go into some of the bars and some of the drinking holes that a lot of the enlisted men went into, a lot of your GIs, you know. And this was during the Vietnam era, and a great many of these young men knew that they were on their way to Vietnam... or to some theater where there would be combat, and there was a great deal of drinking, and the resultant fist fights, and we would wade into these bars, and I said the same thing that I've heard Margaret say, and I said, I want all of you here to calm down, or I'm going to throw this place into the street. So...
How did that work out?
It was fine. It was fine.
Well, that's not what you told me, General.
Yes, I did tell you that. I did tell you that.
No, you said that you said to someone, I'll throw this place into the street, and you wound up outside. You had been thrown through, not a door or a window or anything, but you'd been thrown through some kind of a cart.
Well, they were bringing beer. Never mind.
So what? So you were a military cop, and you got set upon by a crowd of angry guys, and they threw you out the door, right?
Well, they didn't throw me through a door or through a window. I got thrown into a stack of kegs. These were beer kegs. And that's where I lay until they were able to dig me out. But it was...
No, I understand. My brother was in the Navy, and he used to tell us about going on shore patrol. I don't know how they picked these guys for this duty, but the way my brother Dara would tell it, it would be, okay, well, I had to go and do this. And I'd say, what? He said, I had to go do shore patrol. And they give you an armband, and they give you a billy stick, and you go down and get all these drunk sailors out of these bars in Tijuana, you know?
And didn't you say he got beat up?
Yeah, Dara got his ass kicked a couple of times. You know, all those guys, you know, they're wading into this thing. Whatever it is, some melee of drunken servicemen, and I don't know if he got his ass kicked, but he would come back sometimes on weekends on leave and tell us about some situation that he got into where he wound up, you know, where'd you get that cut, you know, what happened to your nose there, you know, well, I got, you know, somebody bounced my face off of a door in Tijuana, so.
But what's your brother doing down there?
Didn't you hear what he said?
He was on shore patrol in the Navy.
Yeah, you know what he said?
Oh, I thought he was a guy who was on shore patrol in the Navy.
Yes, that's what I just got done saying.
But I didn't know what that is.
It's like a cop.
Oh, I thought it was just like going down and going in the bars.
No, man, they don't give you a shore patrol is like, okay, it's time for you to go down to the bars and drink there. No, it's like a Navy cop. You got the military police and the Army, and they got the shore patrol and the Navy. I don't know what the hell they got in the rest of them.
Well, they have the shore patrol in the Air Force, don't they?
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Why?
Why would they have shore patrol in the Air Force? Wouldn't it be like...
Be air patrol.
Well, it would be air patrol, yes, except you're not sitting in a bar in the air. So go ahead and... Go ahead. Your move.
Your move? Your move.
What are you laughing at?
Well, General, I mean, this is not a game. Why would they call it air patrol?
Maybe they do call it air patrol.
They would call it air patrol, except you don't sit in the air, do you?
No, you don't, but I don't know what else. Maybe it's called military police.
No, that's the Army. So you're left with shore patrol.
Well, it doesn't make any sense, but you know what? We'll look it up.
Why would you look it up when you have a member of the United States Army sitting here staring at you and telling you what it is?
Yes, sir. You're right, General. I'm sorry.
That's an idiotic thing that I ever did hear.
Why don't you just keep it closed over there before I lose it?
General, we don't want to get you upset.
Yeah, take it easy, General. I mean, I accept what you're saying. If it's shore patrol, it's shore patrol.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to call it air patrol unless you've got a bunch of these guys sitting on their ass in a cloud somewhere.
Yeah, well...
Maybe they are, man. Maybe that's what they think they are.
Well, they may think they're there, but they're not.
Okay, I understand it's not whatever... It's shore patrol. I don't know what it is, but all these branches of the service, bud, to answer your question... have these military arms that they, I mean, these police things. So that's what they do. All right, 855-500-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show. So anyway, that's the whole reason why we're talking about this is because of this guy, Emilio Fandango.
Well, yeah, but I heard you speaking disparagingly of him.
Well, he's not exactly a cop. He's a security guy that peeks in bedroom windows.
Oh, I see. Is it effective? I don't understand.
I don't know if it's effective, and who cares if he's peeking at a bedroom window and he's looking at your wife.
Well, you know, the thing, I don't want them to look at my wife, of course, but the thing that offends me and would really, really cause great consternation with myself is if they were looking in a bedroom window at me. Do you understand? My wife could say, well, she could say, General Shaw, there's a man outside looking at me. And I would go outside and I'd deal with him, and it wouldn't be too good for him.
Absolutely.
Right. But if I'm sitting in my bedroom, bending over and scratching my foot or doing something compromising, and I look and I turn around and I look through a window and there's some slob staring at me, have a care.
Well, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that either.
No, I would think that any man... who is the object of a peeping Tom, maybe that should happen more often.
Well, I'm just telling you, no, I don't think it should, because I'd commit homicide. I would.
Well, I'm not going to take it that far, but that'd be pretty weird. Nonetheless, I don't think I've ever been the object of a peeping Tom myself. I don't think I'm not all that to look at.
But come here, not women that are peep Toms.
Women that are what?
Is it called peep Tom?
No, peeping Tom, man.
Why are there not women that are peep top?
That's a good question. Women don't work that way, you know.
Why not?
I don't know. Women are not, they're not perverse. Women are more communicative. Women can actually communicate. They don't need to lurk and hide and peer. You know, women come from an orientation where they had, you know, the whole thing about women, right?
Oh, here we go. Are you going to give us the caveman speech again?
I'm going to talk about... What do you mean the caveman speech? Women and men. The men went out to hunt.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Hold on for a minute. The men went out to hunt. The women stayed back in the camp, and they had to communicate with each other. Who's going to take care of the baby? Who's taking care of the fire? What do you need? You need some... And they had to work things out because they were sitting there and coexisting while the men were off hunting some buffalo or something, right? So women develop... What I'm saying is women develop communication skills. I think a lot of that has to do with that, you know? So women are not hiding and looking around the corner and staring through windows. Women just come right out and tell you, hey, what is this called? Well, it's an automobile. Well, I don't understand. Why do I need that? Well, it's because...
Phil, don't make us out to be idiots. Of course we What does that mean?
I'm just joking around. But the women, you know, will ask questions. They want to know.
Get a lab alert or lurk around.
Yeah, you know, I would, if I were you, Phil, I wouldn't necessarily say that women don't lurk and women don't sneak around, because I remember I had a kid sister. I would turn around, and there she was looking at me. Now, well,
I heard this story, and you were taking 20s out of your dad's wallet.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, that's why.
No, I was not taking 20s out of my dad's wallet. I was looking in his wallet, I'll give you that.
Well, no wonder your sister's looking at you.
Yeah, but everyone knows the kid sister...
The kid sister what?
The kids... Boy, I'll tell you.
Well, kid sisters, I think, keep us honest. I appreciate the kid sister because I was one.
Oh, yeah, kid, yeah, right.
You were a kid sister. Okay, kid sisters are definitely the behind the CIA and the KGB. There's only one level that is as effective when it comes to gathering intelligence and espionage, and that's the kid sister. All right,
you got that right, and I'm not, and look at me, look at my face.
Yeah?
Am I smiling?
No, you're not. We'll be right back, talk more... Jeez. More about that when we come back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. Also, don't forget our special this month leading up to Christmas. We have free shot glasses for you if you have an order of $75 or more in our shop. And, of course, if you're a BSP existing or new, you get a free CD download at philhenryshow.com. I call you up and ask. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Coming up later on, Emolio Fandango is going to be back with us to talk about his method of, his security method, which is, I think, a little oddball. And I was talking here with General Shaw, General Galen Shaw, with us, and good to see you, General.
It's wonderful to be, it's amazing how one day off from the radio show can, you feel, it was a little lonesome.
Were you lonely for us?
No, I didn't say I was lonely for you. It was a little low. I've got a rich, full life, all right? I've got a wife, and I've got a dog.
And you got a house?
And I have a house, thank you. And
got a book to read.
And I have books to read, thank you, Robert. And what else have I got?
Did you say you have a dog?
Well, now that's two dogs. How many?
So in other words, you've got a rich, full life.
Yes, but don't make it sound like I'm don't make it sound like I'm looking for you made it sound bad.
You have a rich, full life, I know. So yesterday you just missed being on the air. I understand. I like being on the radio, but we do thank Bobby Dooley. I had the insomnia problem, and I have Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us here in a moment. The insomnia question is something I did a little bit of research on, because obviously everybody in this country at one time or another struggles with it. And I think that this is a country, the United States is a country that's in dire, dire need of rest, man. And how do I know that? I don't have to do any deep research on that. All I got to do is look at how popular Starbucks is.
Oh, man, that's the truth. Everybody's drinking coffee.
You got it. Everybody's drinking coffee. Everybody's drinking energy drinks. I mean, hello. What do you think the story is here? We're tired.
Well, do you think we're tired, or are we just looking for a cheap kick?
That's what I think it is. I think that there's people, all they want is to get their jollies in a new and legal way.
No, get their jollies. Look, all of that stuff that people either drink, anything that people ingest that is designed to alter mood is ultimately a form of self-treatment.
No, I've heard that, Phil. I don't buy it.
Yeah, I agree with the general. You're trying to give people excuse. Got a guy out there trying to get his kick, get his jollies, you know.
Well, what about these people that are depressed and that are suicidal and have cocaine addictions and this?
I think, you're giving these people too much credit. They're out there getting their jollies and trying to get their cookies. Because why? Because they're lazy and of low moral character.
Oh, that's the oldest, most antiquated analysis that I've ever heard. That is strictly from the 50s. This whole question of character and morality has got nothing whatsoever to do with drug addiction. You're talking about people that are needing some sort of a chemical fix. Something is going on in their brains. They don't know how to correct it. They're going out and they're finding these drugs. Now, as we've said before in the show, there's a pharmacology that the science of pharmacology, is advancing by leaps and bounds even as we speak. And so I don't, I honestly think, and I've said this before, I think that we will have defeated drug addiction within the next 50 years.
You really think so?
Yes, I really do. I think drug addiction will be defeated within the next 50 years. That's how amazing this, as I say, this science of pharmacology is, and how many different kinds of therapies are being developed. To me, it's astounding. All kinds of ailments are being treated, from manic depression to depression to bipolar. I guess they don't call it manic depression anymore. Bipolar ailments, schizophrenia, you name it. It's astounding. We've got Dr. Ron Tarner here with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. Dr. Tarner, how are you?
Well, Bill, hi, how are you? Doing very good. As I was listening to you speaking, I wanted to jump in and tell everyone that you're not a doctor. When I hear you, and you know that I have an issue with this.
No, I'm not trying to be a doctor.
I know, but you know I have an issue with people sounding off as if they've got the DR period in front of their names. I'm a doctor. I went to school.
But you're an astronomer, Dr. Tarner. Why don't you let people know you're not a medical doctor?
Hold on. Let's not start off that way.
Let's let the doctor explain.
Dr. Tarner, this is General Shaw, and I've had I just wanted you to know I've had a great many people ask me about you, and they say, do you know Dr. Tarner? And I'll say, no, I don't. And they'll say, well, he's on the show that you're on. And I've said to them, well, I didn't know that until right now.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Dr. Tarner, I don't think I'm speaking out of school, has a bit of a...
Has a bit of a what?
There's a little bit of a self-image thing that you've got. You've got a problem.
No. Hold on. The only problem I've got, as I've said, is with Stephen Hawking, because he gets laid too much for a guy with no mobility, and he tells a lot of Polish jokes and writes them.
I didn't know that about him.
Yes. That's the only self-image problem I have.
Why is it self-image?
Because he gets a lot of attention from people.
Dr. Tarner, Hawking's going to get a lot of attention. I think we've talked about this before. What I'm trying to say is that you have, you feel inferior sometimes. And I'm not, you know, it's nothing that I don't feel. Everybody does. I'm not trying to be a doctor.
Good. I will let everyone know you're not a doctor. And when you talk about drugs and drug therapy, and it sounds like you are attempting to make a diagnosis. And that's not correct.
No, I'm not trying to make a diagnosis, and I'm not trying to be a doctor, and I don't think I'm better than you.
Oh, my God. Well, talk about insecurity. My God.
Excuse me, who is that?
Dr. Tarter, this is Margaret Gray. You sound very insecure.
No, I'm not insecure, Margaret. Please listen to me. I just want it to be known that Phil Hendry is not a doctor. I am. And that Stephen Hawking, I know you weren't talking about Stephen Hawking, so I'll take that back. But as long as I brought him up, for a guy who has Lou Gehrig's disease, don't you think there are too many women in his life, or am I just beating that into the ground?
You're beating it into the ground.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, then forget it.
Dr. Tarter, General Shaw again.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to offend you, sir, and if I started something here...
No, you didn't do anything.
I'm just, as Howard Cosell used to say, telling it like it is. All right, so let's talk here, Dr. Tarner, about insomnia and about the need for stimulation. Do you have any kind of a quick fix for insomnia? What do you tell people who are having a difficult time sleeping?
There's a joke here, and I won't...
What's the joke?
You listen to the Phil Hendry show.
God, man.
Oh. So you're not even going to give me that one, huh?
If you don't want to be on my show...
No, I was making a joke. See, this is the exact thing I'm trying to say. You've got a man like Stephen Hawking who writes some of those virulently racist jokes I've ever read in my life. Are they funny? Yes, they are. I'll give him that. In fact, Hawking's jokes are very funny.
Look, you're going to have to get off the Stephen Hawking thing. I am not going to be your vehicle for working your problems out with Stephen Hawking. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. I understand, sir.
We'll take a break here.
He's very touchy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is very touchy, particularly today, and I don't know what's going on with him.
Well, he doesn't like it when you start sounding like... When anyone sounds like a doctor that isn't a doctor...
Then he gets upset?
Yes, he gets very upset.
I wasn't trying to be a doctor. I just said that there are drugs that people are taking now that work real good, man.
Yeah, I'll bet they do.
I'm not talking about real good as in real, you know, as in getting you high. Anyway, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Go get a backstage pass. Gift subscriptions available now on our website for the Yuletide.
Yee, yee, yee. For the Yule, for the burning of the Yule log.
I got your Yule log.
The world famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico every night till 10 o'clock here on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and join us online at philhenryshow.com. As I mentioned going into the break, we have gift subscriptions to the website now.
Now, this is brand new that you've added to the store. There have been a lot of people asking about that.
Yeah, that's exactly. I had my nephew said...
Your nephew wasn't asked about the Phil Henry... He was asked about if you was on YouTube.
No, he was not. Do you mind if I finish what I'm saying?
Bud.
My nephew asked, was there a gift subscription to the Phil Henry Show? And I didn't know. I said, no. And he said, then he said something about YouTube, but I don't know what it was.
Yeah, he said he's going to go watch YouTube instead.
Okay, that's great, Bud. Thank you for that. So now we have, go watch YouTube instead. What is that? You know.
But a lot of people go on YouTube, watch it instead.
Don't you know that?
Yeah, I know that, but YouTube is like, what? What about Hulu or Netflix or something? YouTube? Gee, I think I'll go over to YouTube and just scroll through all the crap they've got over there and hope I find something good. Anyway, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, so go to our website and check out... I wanted to do a promo for the website, and I wind up disparaging YouTube. That's great.
Well, you said that YouTube was really a big fet... They had development money, but they were a bunch of cheap creeps. Remember that?
No, I don't. I never said that.
Well, yes, you. You said you were you that they were cheap creeps, and that if I ever said it on the air, you'd deny that I said it.
Deny that you said it.
I mean that you said it.
No, you can't take that back now.
Forget it, will you? Okay. I got Dr. Tarner on the line here, and he's probably not feeling all that well disposed towards us. Dr. Tarner, again, welcome back to our program.
I'm going to let you know something. You're not wrong there. I was getting a little irritated waiting here, but I actually am thankful. For a moment there, I almost wanted to hang up because I felt that I'd been disrespected as I came on your program, and then you're sitting chewing the fat and jaw-jacking with the general as if it's just a sunny day, and I'm some punk that can wait. But I did read...
Hold. That's not what I was doing.
Why do you do that, Dr. Turner? Why do you take it to that place?
Because that's where you guys took it. I'm sitting on hold drumming my fingers, and I'm listening to Phil talking to Bud, and I'm trying to interject things. I'm saying, I didn't know I was on hold. I was going, oh, that's funny. That reminds me of a story, and they kept right on talking. And it was then that I asked my wife, who I'm not married, but I just got the cat out of the bag, Susan. You didn't hear me? Okay, thank God. So I'm going to ask her to marry me.
Who?
This Susan, who's been my steady now. I've been going out with her for quite some time. And I said to her, I've completely forgotten what I wanted to say.
Well, all right, so why don't we just go to where we want to go? You had something that you were reading during the break?
Yes, I was reading something at the break, and that was it. I said to Susan, I said, thank God he is ignoring me, because I just read here, a researcher says, I never said energy drinks are dangerous. Now, Phil, you're talking about insomnia, and insomnia is a curse. We have caffeine. We also have energy drinks. One of the researchers that was was doing this research, a leader of a research team that measured the acute effects of energy drinks on heart function, emphasized that he never said those effects were dangerous, although press coverage of the study viewed the findings findings with alarm. Now, he's a radiologist by the name of Daniel something, and I can't read his last name, but I think I remember who this guy was, and he claims that he never said energy drinks were dangerous. Well, I'm calling him a bald-faced liar because I know he did.
How do you know he did? You don't even remember his name.
No, you're right. I don't remember his name, but I remember the guy that came out with some research, and he said the energy drinks they have acute effects, but they're not dangerous. I remember who that guy was. I'll never forget him as long as I live.
But you don't know his name.
I don't know. His first name's Daniel. Now, the point that I'm making is this.
Well, can I interrupt?
No, I would appreciate it if you wouldn't, General.
All right.
The point that I'm making is this. Researchers, such as Stephen Hawking and others, will make a claim, and then when it turns out the claim is not quite accurate, they'll say, well, I never said that. Now, the energy drink thing, as you remember, Phil, there were people dying from that Four Low or whatever that stuff was.
Yeah, what was the name of that stuff? It was an alcohol but that was alcohol and caffeine. That was not an energy drink.
All right. Well, but the point is, people were looking into these energy drinks because they were afraid they were causing heart attacks. And we do have a country of people that need more energy. We do have a country of people who need more coffee and this kind of thing, and perhaps more energy drinks. I drink energy drinks. I want you to know, I'm a doctor. I drink Monster. I drink one called Rockstar. I guzzle them. And the reason why I do is because I need them desperately. I have a very bad case of insomnia from time to time. I'm tired. And I will go into a liquor store or a convenience store, and I will grab 5, 6, 7 of these rock stars and throw them into a paper bag and toss money on the counter and jump into my car. That's how late I am generally. And I guzzle 3 of these before I hit the office. And I feel fine. Now, some people have said I'm a little hyper.
Well, that's what I think. You do sound hyper, and you were very on edge when you came on the air with us.
You were. You were ready to get into a fight.
That's got nothing to do with energy drinks, though. That had to do with you pretending that you were Mr. Wizard, you know.
Well, all Phil, you know, I must interject. All Phil said was that the pharmacology was improving.
Yeah, General, I know that. But I know Phil, and I know what he starts to take on this tone like. And let me just tell you, Bud, you know what I talk about.
Yeah, you know, Phil, sometimes you go, and that reminds me.
No, I don't.
No, hold on. You go, that reminds me. One time, just the other day, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, man, you're right about that, man. Well, a couple times you try to sound like you're, like Mr. Wizard, or you're, like, giving a lecture or something.
Yeah, Phil, this is not to criticize you.
Oh, no, not to criticize me at all. No, I'm not taking that at all that way.
Well, you do tend to spout off and start to give these lectures. Do you have a 4-year degree?
No, I do not.
Okay, do you have a 2-year degree?
No, I do not.
Well, hold on, let me, did you graduate from high school?
Yes, sir.
All right, so here we have a guy that has a high school, you have a high school diploma, right?
All right, I know where you're going with this. All I said...
Whoa, sunshine.
I don't like being called sunshine.
Well, you've got a high school diploma, and now I'd like to tell you all about pharmacology. Well...
You know, Phil, it is true.
Do you have a 4-year degree?
Yes, I do. It's a place called West Point.
Wow.
Phil, you walked right into that one.
Yeah. Phil, I think what you need to do is remember your place. You're a talk show host, and that basically means... Look, Rush Limbaugh doesn't have a college degree. Rush Limbaugh is frankly, Rush Limbaugh is only one step up from a gibbering idiot. He's got a high school diploma.
Well, you're not going to say Rush Limbaugh's a gibbering idiot just because he doesn't have a college degree.
No, I'm not. But I would say that if Rush Limbaugh was not a talk show host, he'd have on one of those white ice cream cone hats. And he'd be picking up papers off of outdoor tables at Dairy Queen. And they'd be saying, okay, fat ass, when you're done with that.
You know, I love how people want to immediately demean somebody because their political persuasion is not their own. He's obviously a very, very intelligent guy. And I don't doubt for a second that he would have found a more professional position than picking up a paper off of Dairy Queen outdoor tables.
Well, all right, but I saw a fat guy the other day outdoors at Dairy Queen with one of those white ice cream man hats, and he had on a white apron and the big fat boy ass, and
would you watch your language, please?
Who said that?
Margaret.
Well, you're not the host of the show.
No, I am on the panel, and I'm asking you to watch your language.
Why don't you?
Oh, wow.
Are you ready for that?
What? Did you dump that?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
That's surprising to me.
No, that's not surprising to me. As soon as he hit the air tonight, the guy was loaded for bear. Wow. Hey, Doc, if you're listening, which I know you are, you owe Margaret an apology. You owe my audience an apology for that.
An MFW. I want the people out there to know what he called me. When I said to him that I'm on the panel, and he said, well, you don't tell me what to do. You're nothing more than the panel's MFW. And then he said something about going, didn't he say?
Well, I hung up on him, but he's starting to say, you know, go get me a wet towel or something like that.
Yes, as if I was...
All right, well, he's, you know, Dr. Tarner, whatever pressure you're under, you got to work it out, man, because I can't have you back on the air, you know.
Well, I don't think you're going to have him back on the air, Phil. When you call him man, you know the beatnik, you know.
He doesn't mind it. You're the only guy I know that minds it. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. The number is 855-500-7445. Wow, that's Dr. Tarner went off the air with a blaze of glory there, man. I'm going to come back and figure the rest of this article on energy drinks. They're not dangerous. Energy drinks, not dangerous, according to the researcher that said they did have acute effects. Let's find out more. World famous Phil Henry Show, your energy drink guy. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. For those of you that were concerned, the Bobby Dooley podcast back on SoundCloud tomorrow. Bobby took the night off last night. Her and Steve, they did 3 hours on the air. And I talked to Bobby earlier. She said, well, as soon as they got off the air, Steve hit the sack because they do the show from the community center there.
Now, did you build that studio for them?
No, I did not.
Well, who built the studio?
It's just a podcast. You just buy a...
Yeah, you buy like a microphone and everything.
Well, what? Then if that's the case, why do you have all of this stuff here?
Because I do more than just talk on the mic. I produce and I do a lot of my own mixing of sound effects and things.
And Bobby and Steve are doing what?
They're just talking into the microphone. They're just talking into the microphone. Anybody can do that. Anybody can go out and buy a microphone and you can buy a laptop computer and you can go on Blogspot radio, you know. Which, by the way, Debbie Daly and I was on her show last night. I had a great time. Thank you, Debbie, for that.
Well, that's nice. Thank you, Debbie, but I'm talking to Phil about some. You know, I'm a little upset with her. She was supposed to interview me.
Well, we were waiting for you to come on.
Nonetheless...
We talked about it. She didn't say nothing to me.
She was supposed to interview me, all right? This isn't always just about you boys. It's about me as well.
And who are you speaking about?
Debbie Daly.
Debbie Daly, which is not the Debbie Daly that we know who is... Is that
the little lady who's hard of hearing?
No, that's the one in New York. This is a Debbie Daly in Dallas.
Yeah, two different Debbie Dalys. The Debbie Daly in New York, I've been on her show many times, but the one in Dallas, I was supposed to be on a show with Phil, and I don't suppose anybody reminded her.
I didn't, no.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm going to the bathroom.
Oh, come on.
No, it's all right.
All right, so here it is. If you are, like me, a guy that... And I have, you know, I have a problem with sleeping. So I don't drink energy drinks, but I would love to. I stay away from a lot of that stuff because I'm afraid that it will cause the insomnia. But here's the problem. Even if I don't drink that, I still get these insomnias, even if I don't drink coffee, I still get it. Turns out, though, that the leader of a research team that measured the acute effects of energy drinks on heart function emphasizes he never said those effects were dangerous. Responding to criticism from Monster Beverage, which called the study alarmist and misleading, a University of Bonn researcher said that he had said, yes, the effects are acute, but that they were not dangerous. And they go on to a long description of the research that he did. Unfortunately, I can't read it, bud, because what you printed off here has a bunch of pop-up ads in front. See this?
Oh, I told you all about that, man. You got to take that pop-up ad block.
Look at that. See? You just all right. So anyway, it's not anything I want to get that heavy into anyway. But that is that's a significant thing for anybody that drinks these energy drinks. And, you know, like anything else in this world, everything in moderation. Here's another thing. Sure, we've all heard that we should get more sleep. The realities of life sometimes get in the way of that. It becomes a we should get more sleep later. There's either more work to be done or more fun to be had or both. The only downside is that you wake up the next day feeling like a cast member of The Walking Dead. Exercising before bed is a sure way to keep yourself awake. That's why you should not do it when you actually want to go to sleep.
Now, I heard differently. I heard exercising tires you out.
Yeah, what about that?
Nope. I've always known that my whole life because exercise always gets the blood flowing, gets the endorphins going, gets all of the good chemicals, all of the good chemistry. It balances everything. It gets all the impurities out of your system, or not all of them, but it gets a fair amount of the toxins. What do you want, General?
Well, I was listening to you talking, and I'm afraid you're going to get another call here from Tarner.
Well, he's not going to get on the air unless he apologizes.
You want? Because if he calls in,
what are you talking about? He's not getting on the air.
Well, you're starting to sound like a doctor, and you know that chaps his hide.
Well, I'm so sorry, it chaps his hide.
Well, you know it does.
I don't give a damn. I could care less.
Because he's calling in right now.
How do you know?
Well, I see that line blinking.
How do you know that's him?
Just the way it's blinking.
Just the way it's blinking? What's blinking in an angry way?
Yeah, it is blinking kind of angry.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. Why don't you answer it and find out who it is?
I know it's him. I just want to know. You want to put him on the air?
Answer the phone, bud. What do you mean you know it's him?
It's blinking like it's him.
Give me that light. Hello? Oh, hi, Ron. Hold on, will you? Take it.
Was he right?
Yes, he was right.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Tarner? Yeah. Yeah, I said to Phil. See?
Do you mind?
What?
I'm on the air. Do you mind?
Oh, sorry.
So anyway, yeah, these energy drinks.
Yeah, I said to Phil that, you know, yeah, I do it with you.
The energy drinks, they're really good.
Yeah, you want to go on the air? Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Give me that phone, man. I'll talk to him. God. All right, which line?
This one. No, this one. No, this one.
Which line is it, bud?
This one.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know. Which line is it?
Hello?
Okay, Ron.
What, you guys all of a sudden forget to answer a phone? You don't know how to even answer a phone? Oh, my God.
No, Bud was saying that you were calling in, and he said he knew that you were calling in by the way the line was blinking.
Yeah, and?
So we were talking about that.
Meanwhile, I'm ringing in like a horse's ass and no one's answering the phone.
Let me tell you something, Tarner. You hung the phone up on me after saying such and such to Margaret. You owe her an apology.
Well, if I owe you an apology, Margaret, I apologize. I don't remember. What did I say?
You know full... You don't remember.
If it was MF and a W, I apologize.
Yes, it was, and I was absolutely shocked.
I do apologize. I do apologize. Now, understand that my apology is one that you may think is qualified because I wanted to get on the air and break Phil's castanets over sounded like, you know, he's the family physician here again with all this stuff about monster drinks and energy and so on and so forth and biochemistry.
Well, let's grow up. Do you mean the apology or don't you?
Yes, I...
What?
Yes, I do.
All right, so I shouldn't even have you on the air. That was vulgar. It was in violation of all the decency guidelines.
Oh, Phil, you said yourself you don't know what the decency guidelines are.
The decency guidelines of me, Phil Hendry. Okay, the Phil Hendry Commission.
Oh, okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, Captain. Whatever you say, Captain by Captain.
You know, Phil, I love... Phil, you would have been a great officer in officer training in the Army. I think you would have been fantastic.
Oh, Captain by Captain. The ship is...
Okay, fine. Thank you for quoting Walt Whitman. Do you have something to say about this?
Yes, I do. First of all, the guy that said the energy drinks were safe and then... said that the energy drinks were not safe and then says that he never said that is a lying... And now I find out that he's German, so he's a lying crowd. That's number one. Number...
Okay, I'm hanging up on him again. And I don't want him back on the air.
Why'd you hang up?
I don't like crowd. Okay?
Yeah, that guy, Phil, he's not playing with a full deck.
There is something wrong with that man. He's very angry. I understand he's got his girlfriend there with him.
Yeah, some woman named Susan.
Oh, yeah, that's the Susan. He said he's going to marry her.
Okay, so?
Yeah, it's probably what's causing the problem.
Why is that causing a problem?
Just, you know, Dr. Tarner been alone for much of his life. Now he's got somebody hanging around. He doesn't like it.
He is a bit of a loner, yeah.
Is he one of these people that gets upset when people are hanging around?
I don't know.
Yes, he is. He does. If people are hanging around too long, he's too polite to tell them to leave. So he just starts throwing things.
Well, he's going to have to find a better way of communicating, if you know what I'm saying. Because if he thinks that he's going to take out his emotional stresses and strains on us, call this show, get into some rap session with us about something, and he's laying down the MF and the W and calling Germans krauts and everything else because he can't tell that girlfriend of his where to get off.
Well, he wants to marry her.
Yeah, but she hangs around too much.
He wants to marry her, but she hangs around too much.
How does that work? If you marry a woman, she's going to be there.
I don't know.
That guy needs a psychiatrist worse than anybody I've ever met. If you want my honest opinion. And is that him calling?
Yeah, I can tell by the way it's ringing.
You can tell by the way it... I don't want to talk to him. World famous Phil... Don't you dare put him on the air, bud. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Yeah?
You know something? I always thought you were a friend, Phil, but now I think you're a no good.
Yeah, thanks a lot. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Oh, I love this song. Oh, this is a wonderful song. Is this Otis Redding? This is great.
Who?
I think it's Otis Redding. Yes, it is. It's Otis Redding.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 10 o'clock from the El Pacifico on the West Coast and 1 a.m. back east. And the weather, people are complaining about the cold weather here in California. It's not that cold. It's 43 degrees last night. You know.
Well, it was 37 degrees this morning at 5 a.m. I looked at the thermometer that we have on our veranda. So...
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's not bad, huh? I come from Pennsylvania, so I haven't been in the cold weather for very long, Phil. But 37 degrees, my God.
You're asking the wrong guy here. I've lived in some pretty cold climes.
Yeah, I think we're bellyaching about nothing, man. Folks, Californians always do that. When it rains, we bitch and moan. We can't drive in the rain. We don't know how to drive in the rain. And there's only thing the only thing that is even worse than any of this is that if you point this out to fellow Californians, they just look at you with glazed, dead eyes, you know?
The doll's eyes.
Yeah, the look?
Oh, yes. The dead doll's eyes are typical of a lot of the people in California. When you say to them, do you realize that it's much worse elsewhere in the world? And they stare back at you with that smile. In other words, they're going, you see teeth, but you see dead black eyes.
Yeah, I know what they mean about that.
What are you talking about, doll's eyes? I don't understand this.
There's a kind of a glazed, dead look that psychopaths have, for instance. Have you ever seen the eyes of that guy, what's his name, that Anthony Sowell guy, and like Gary, who's the guy that was the Green River Killer?
Gary Ridgway.
Gary Ridgway, yeah. They got those dead eyes.
Well, you're telling me that the average Californian has got the dead eyeballs of a sociopath when it comes to weather?
When it comes to talking to them about, hey... You know, this weather's cold, but it's colder elsewhere. They'll just kind of go, oh, yeah, and you're looking into the eyes of a soulless person. And I'm probably guilty of it myself because it just doesn't register, you know.
And the thing that really makes me laugh almost is that most of the people you're talking to at one time or another came from another part of the country. So they lived in the cold weather.
Like yourself.
Like myself, exactly. And it's the weirdest thing.
What was the temperature last night?
37. And people were, it was 43 when I, you said it was 37?
It was 37 at 5 a.m.
Yeah, that's cool, but I'm in bed.
Yeah, no kidding. What's everybody going, taking a walk and stuff?
It's just, you know, it's just people noticing the cold weather. All right, we're going to have on this hour, Amalio Fandango back on.
Well, that guy was on last night, I thought.
Yeah, he's going to be on again because I heard him talking about something that I don't think the Dooleys really pressed home.
This is the peeking in the bedroom windows.
Yeah, see, I don't understand. What is your issue with that?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding.
This guy works security.
No, I understand that, and he's looking in bedroom windows because he's trying to secure the property, correct?
Well, you don't look at a bedroom window, General.
Oh, you don't, I see. I guess you people haven't done much in the way of defending the perimeter.
Defending the perimeter? You know, we're not talking about an attack by an enemy force here, you know.
I'm talking about an attack in force, a reconnaissance in force, and being attacked in force.
We're not talking about an army maneuver here. We're talking about a...
Look, Phil, just please understand I know a little more about this than you.
All right, that's fine. Let me get on here, Emilio Fandango from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. He's going to talk with us here. Emilio, how are you tonight?
I'm very good, Mr. Henry. Thank you for this is a rare honor to be on this program two nights in a row.
Well, last night Bobby had you on the show, and forgive me, I'm not trying to say any. I'm not trying to indicate or claim anything about your company or the way that you do business. You've operated security there at Western Estates for a number of years. I just wanted to ask you about something that I heard. I heard you say that you part of your patrol duties is looking in bedroom windows.
Well, look, it's not like I said to Miss Dooley. I didn't say to her, when you hire Fandango Security, I'm going to be looking in a bedroom window and... to get my kicks or something. I don't have a camera, you know. That's not what I'm doing. I look in the bedroom window to... Yes, I want to see what's in there, but it's not as if I am doing it purely for my pleasure. I want to make sure that the people are safe.
Yeah, see, you said purely for the pleasure.
And who am I speaking with?
My name's Bud Dickman.
The what?
It's Bud Dickman. So you said purely for pleasure?
Yes, it's not purely for pleasure.
It's not purely for, but part of it is for pleasure.
No, that's the wrong way to see it. I'm walking down the side of a house at the Western Estates Homeowners Association for what I was hired to be the security people for. Okay?
Right.
All right. I'm going down the side of the house.
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you, sir. This is General Shaw.
Yes, sir.
You said you're going down the side of a house, so... Are you maneuvering between houses out of the eye shot, out of the view of the homeowners?
Well, we hop the back fence.
You hop the back fence?
Yes, we're going to come over the back fence, and then we go between bushes. Perhaps Ms. Dooley did not explain to you what I do.
Well, she said you do security for the Western States Homeowners Association. This hiding behind bushes, I've got a problem with.
Whoa, hold on. Hold the phone, okay? Hold the phone. I'm going down between... I'm crouching below the bush line. And excuse me for saying that, because you get a lot of people, especially since the people question the way we do what we do. And I say, well, I crouch below the bush line. And they say, well, all right, so what's that about? Well, you find it funny. A lot of people don't.
I understand what he's saying. I don't appreciate your humor, sir.
Ms. Gray, believe me when I tell you, I'm not trying to be funny. I will say to them, I'll crouch below the bush line, and they give me the wink and the nudge.
Oh, no, I know what he means by bush line.
I do, too, and I don't need any more illustration of it.
I understand.
Okay, good. So then I have to say to them, I say, no, I'm not not that bush. I'm, although... You know,
You know what, Amalio? Mr. Fandango, I don't want to know anything about your sexual proclivity.
I'm not trying to say this to you, ma'am.
I want to know about the way your company does business.
All right, let's just stick with that.
I'm sticking with that. You asked me about how I do what I do.
Well, I'm sorry if I put you on the defensive. I didn't mean to do that, sir. You're jumping a back fence. You're crouching below the bush line. You brought up... the whole bush line thing. You said some people give you the wink and the nudge, right?
Well, they do. If you want me to hide the information, I'm trying to, in the interest of full disclosure, to try to tell you what the ticket...
Well, slow down. You need to slow down, sir.
Yes, I'm going to slow down. I'm trying to give you, in the interest of full disclosure, Last night I thought I explained this.
You did, sir. It brought up questions from our audience, and we're trying to answer some of them tonight.
Well, is Ms. Dooley anywhere?
No, Ms. Dooley is not on the line right now. It's just us.
This is almost like a gang blank, isn't it?
See, this is what I don't appreciate about you. Everything with you has this double entendre.
Well, I don't want to be set upon by a bunch of guys in a pool hall. And my name is Mary. And
that's not what's happening. I'm asking you, and I'm going to ask you again. Are you looking in bedroom windows?
Yes, I don't think I have made a secret of that.
Why?
Because I want to make sure the interior of the home is safe. If the lights are out, guess what? I can't see nothing, okay? If the window closed, I can't see anything.
All right, now, what was this last night? You said you came upon a closed window, but you saw the curtain was slightly open, and you stood there for about a half an hour trying to get, quote-unquote, a better view.
I'm trying to see what's going to the house. If they see the curtain open, then that man came and grabbed me by my right shoulder and spun me around. And then he saw the Fandango security emblem. When people see Fandango security, they back way off, okay? Because Fandango, as we like to say, when we have the billboard campaign, we did a radio campaign, Fandango means security. Look us up in the Yellow Pages or something like that. I forget what the ad says, but...
Fandango means security, all right.
Yes.
Okay, hold the line here, Amalio, as we get to the bottom of the whole walking down behind the house, you know.
Well, he said, the man did say he crouched below the bush line.
Yes, and then he said, oh, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, what's that mean? Does it mean he's like, what?
Never mind. It doesn't mean anything. It's him trying to be, I think it was him trying to be a smartass, to be honest with you. I think it was him trying to, you know, hey, bush line. Ha, 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 ha. Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's nice. That's...
Some jingle bells for you there. Look us up online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. And you might as well do your Christmas shopping over at philhenryshow.com for the Phil Henry fan in your family. Get a gift subscription. Get some CDs. Go over and get a hoodie, a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie or T-shirt. Get our ball cap. Get our station, our show T-shirt. Get the Bobby Dooley keychain. But whatever you do, get it. We'll be right back. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Now, the big news, before we get back here to our very close personal friend, Mr. Fandango, the big news, we are now working and pushing forward, and I mean very, very aggressively, so I want my listeners and my subscribers to know this. And I want my subscribers to know this because, as subscribers, you can access our video cast, and we're very happy that you do. But I know a lot of you want to just listen to an audio stream. And you want to be able to listen to the audio stream right off of the website, or you want to be able to access the audio stream live as the show is happening. And there are a variety of ways of doing that, but the best possible way is the way that we are going to be going, and that is a Phil Henry live radio show app. This is in the works. And you know that when I tell you that we're going to do something, we do it. It may take 16,000 years.
Well, that was the one of the people said, Phil said there was going to be streaming video about 8 years ago, and he finally got it. And they even very sarcastically went, hey.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. That's funny.
Yeah, that's real funny. Well, the fact is, we are going to have an app. We're working on it. I've said to the guys, full speed ahead on this. I want all due pressure. I don't care if you don't sleep. I don't care if you don't eat. I don't care if your marriages fall apart. I don't care if your kids don't eat. I want that app.
You didn't say that.
Of course I didn't say it, but that's what I wanted to say.
Well, you wanted to say that.
Yes, I did. I wanted to say, I want you working on this, even if it means your home life goes to hell in a handcart. Now, I'm kidding. No, I don't mean that. But I do. We are in every way, shape, and form pushing forward with a live show app so that you will be able to access our show live from your smartphone. It's as simple as that. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. It's long overdue. But we were very consciously holding off on any kind of an app for our website and our show until we had our site fairly well in hand. And now that we do, and there's just a few minor things we have to do over there, now that we do, now we are going to go and get this app. What, bud?
Didn't I mean, no, the radio stations and everything?
We have a great affiliate list. We've got great stations. We have great affiliates. We've got great people that support us on all levels. This is just one more level. It's one more platform, you see. It's all about platforms, you know.
Well, when you say platform, it reminds me of the old days of train stations where they'd say, well, go over to platform A, and do you remember the song Leaving on Runway Number 9? You remember that song?
No, General, I know that song. Last train to London, leaving on runway number 9.
No, it was not last train to London.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not, because they don't leave on runways. Oh!
Down there!
Yeah, give me 5.
Yay!
Get out of here, will you? Last plane to London.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it was last plane to London. I don't like the childish way you celebrate because you think you made a point. You didn't make a point.
Well, yes, I did. You said last train to London, leaving on a runway? What drugs are you on?
I misspoke about the mode of transportation.
All right, never mind. So, yes, the platform. That's new media speak for, is it a radio? Is it a smartphone? Is it a this? Is it that? Something else. So when we get moving along with that, I'm going to let you know. I've never been as excited about anything that we've done digitally than I am about having the Phil Henry live radio app that is going to enable you to listen to this show live wherever you are. You can be in Hong Kong. You can be in Canada. You can be in Antarctica. You can be in all those places.
Yeah, with like even in Denmark and stuff.
Even in Denmark. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, whoever you are, whatever you are, you could be animal life, vegetable life, you can listen to the Phil Henry Show. All right, getting back now to Mr. Emilio Fandango. Sorry, sir, we were just doing a couple of announcements.
No, it's all right, Phil, but, you know, I was listening to you, and I had the same feeling one of your prior guests said, which is you sort of leave people hanging while you go off and get your kicks.
No, sir, I'm doing a promotional announcement.
No, I understand, but you see, you've accused me of some things that are very serious, so you're off getting your cookies while I'm waiting here to try to defend my good name. You're telling me that I'm looking in a bedroom window to try and get a cookie, you know?
I don't think anyone has said that. What we're saying is, how does this work? Why do you need to do that?
I'm telling you that as a security for the Western States Homeowners Association, I had told Miss Dooley when I got this job, and by the way, I'm not Mexican, I'm Italian. Where do you get that?
I thought the name Fandango...
Yes, it's a Mexican name, but I am part Italian. My mother is Italian.
Oh, okay. I never said you were Mexican.
I did. I said, coming up, I did a promo for the network.
What'd you say?
I said, coming up later on, a Phil Henry is a Mexican.
Why would you say that?
What is that, bud?
Well,
yeah, you see what I mean? You got guys working on your staff. I think you ought to reevaluate some of these people. To me, they're nuts.
Why would you say that?
I don't know.
You know, bud, you know, you got a black girlfriend, and that's great, and that's your only qualification. That's your only claim to being a egalitarian, fair-minded guy. Some of the most racist crap I hear comes out of your yap.
You know, I've got to agree with him, bud. And my offer still stands that when you get out of line, I'll punch you in the face, I'll punch you in the mouth, and loosen some teeth. And that will remind you.
No, I don't want to do that. That'll hurt.
Well, you know what? You may not have a choice if you keep that stuff up.
Look, Phil, don't get on the kid. You know, he's got a plate in his head. God knows what's wrong with him. All I'm trying to say is I'm not a Mexican. I'm part Mexican. I'm Italian.
Okay. Can we talk now?
Yeah, let's talk now about how the Mexican... See, I think that's why he did that, because I'm peering in bedroom windows. Let me tell you something, ladies. If you've got a problem with Emilio Fandango... the guy that's looking in your bedroom window trying to get a peek is an Italian, okay?
Well, why did you emphasize that? It seems to me that you're trying to make this worse.
No, ma'am, I'm not trying to make anything worse. What I'm hearing here, though, is that you people are trying to make it worse.
No, I'm just trying to get the lay of the land on you peeking in a... Last night, here's what I heard. You walk down the side of the house, you walk past the bedroom window, and you don't look in. Your body is not square to the window. Your body is at an angle, at a right angle. So it appears as if you're walking past the window and you're not looking in. But you are glancing with your eyes, correct?
Yes, that is correct, because I have to look in the bedroom to see what's there, you know. But I'm walking past, so if a woman were to glance up, as was what happened 2 weeks ago, which is what we were talking about, this lady was in there and she's doing some grooming.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about what the woman was doing anymore, if you don't mind.
All right, I'm sorry, but that's what she was doing, because I saw it. And what got me in trouble is I slowed down, but I didn't look at her. I was glancing with my eyes to the side.
Now, one of the guys that works at the security shack, a guy by the name of Raymond Garzon, said you came back to the shack, you rummaged around in a cabinet, got a camera, and then took off back toward the same direction.
That's an absolute lie. I got the camera because I wanted to fool around. I had some new lens, some lens cleaning, you know what I mean?
Listen to him stumbling around trying to find a good excuse for getting the camera. You got that camera and you made a beeline back to that woman's house.
No, I did not. When I got back to that house, and I went back to that house because that's where I left off on my patrol and I was going to pick back up again. The window was closed, and so it didn't matter.
The window was closed, huh? So you went back to see if you could look in there?
No, you can see if a window's open or closed from about 50 feet away. Wow. Give me a break, will you? If I'm going to go back to look in a window. Look, man, I've told you what I've told you, okay?
What did you go and get the camera for?
Because I got some lens cleaning, those little pieces of paper that you clean the lens with. I was going to do that.
While you're out doing your patrol?
Yeah.
Hang on the line here. I don't know. He'll probably hang up.
Yeah, you gonna hang on? You gonna hang on?
Don't do it while I'm on the air, bud, if you don't mind. We're talking with Emilio Fandango here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and the discussion ranging into a lot of different areas. Do you, when you are working security for a gated community, when you're trying to do security for the various homes, do you walk by the houses and stare in the bedroom windows? That is exactly what it is we're talking about right here, and that's what he's been accused of doing. At least that's what his company, Fandango Security, it means secure. Anyway, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. What I was talking with Nikki about, long-distance relationships.
Oh, I love that. That is a great topic, long-distance. Can we do that?
Excuse me, but I'm still talking to the guy.
Well, Phil, I don't know if he's still on the... Is he still on the phone? Sounds to me like he chickened out.
Yeah, I got to find out. It sounded to me like the guy chickened out on you and everything like that.
What do you mean, chickened out on me?
Sounds to me, when you started pressing him on the issue of whether or not He's looking in the windows and getting a little peeky-boo. He was that him?
Yeah, this is me. I'm not chicken out or anything. I'm staying on the line. That's what you told me to do, right, Dickman?
Yeah, Daddy, know you're going to do it.
Well, you might try to ask me. I'm still here. What am I to chicken out for? I'm not to chicken out.
All right, well, so you didn't chicken out.
No, I didn't chicken out. Why? I have nothing to hide, Mr. Henry. I have nothing to hide. You know?
All right, I'm going to bring on another guy that's involved in security, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Do you know him?
I know the name, yeah. I'm familiar with Mr. Santos. Yes, I am.
You are?
Oh, yes, of course. A lot of people are familiar with Mr. Santos.
Okay, then you know the work that he does is...
If you want to call when Mr. Santos does work, yes, I'm familiar. This is a guy who puts on a pit helmet. Okay, go ahead, man.
Well, all right. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, going to join us here on our newsmaker line from the South Bay here this evening on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about security, working security for private company, for private residences, private communities. Jay, you don't do that kind of thing. You are more of a, as I say, a neighborhood police organization.
That is exactly what we do, Phil, and what we do is far more... I would say far more dangerous than excuse me for saying this, sir, and I'm not trying to rile you up, but what we do, I think, is a little bit more dangerous than taking a look in a bedroom window and see a woman shaving.
Okay, see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, Santos, you're the kind of guy who's not going to listen to a thing that anyone is going to say. You're going to say, you know, whatever you want to say.
No, I'm not saying what I want to say. I heard Mr. Henry's interviewing you, and you talked about looking in a bedroom window.
I did not look in a bedroom window. First of all, number one, you have to know what you're talking about, man. You don't know a damn thing about what you talk about.
I don't know what I'm talking about? Why do you say that?
Because what I do is I do home security, I do residential security, I do a very personal and up-close and personal kind of security.
Well, you know, sir, well, you tee it up, I'm going to have to hit that one out. And
what's that?
I said you teed it up, I got to hit that one out, and here it goes. You do personal security? Yeah, look in a bedroom window.
Oh, that's what you call hitting it out, huh? Okay.
All right, guys, let's not do I can top you. But, you know, I will say this on behalf of Mr. Fandango. What he's saying is, essentially, he does a different kind of security than you do, Jay. And quite frankly, you and I have had this discussion many times. What you do is considered by the police to be probably not all that on the up and up.
Not considered on the up and up by the police. The police are very, very grateful for the neighborhood policing that we do. We've done flare drop. We've done go ahead and spread.
Let me ask you, what is go ahead and spread, man, if you don't mind me asking you?
That's when we were out there when the banks were failing, and they did have some crowd control conditions, and they did look like they were going to have a crowd control situation. And we had to go in there and get people spread. Do I like doing it? No. Do I want to see someone spread out? No.
I still don't know what you mean by to spread out. What does that mean?
What
he's talking about spread, he means putting their hands on the wall.
No, I'd like for him to say, if you don't mind.
Oh, like that's a big test. Okay. To spread is what Phil... Have you ever seen what a... Maybe you don't even know what cops do. When every time a cop arrests someone, he goes, okay, put it on the wall and spread it.
You mean the cop says to put your hands on the wall and spread your feet apart when he is frisking you? Is that what you're talking about?
He's not frisking me, friend. You know.
No, but when he is frisking someone.
Yeah. He'll say spread it.
Oh, okay. And is that how you...
Rather than give each other tests, I want to get to the bottom of the question of the hour, and that is the following thing. Jay, your organization, the Citizens Auxiliary Police... ran afoul of some homeowners when you guys were walking around with what you called a helmet cam. You had on top of your pith helmet a camera that you had masking tape to it or something, and you're walking around, and you were looking in bedroom windows, weren't you?
Well, Phil, first of all, that's pretty crude for you to compare what I was doing to this guy looking in a window and licking his upper lip. Totally different.
Wait, hold on, man. There's no licking upper lip.
Wait. Now, Phil said I get to talk, don't I, Phil?
Hold on. You can't characterize what the guy does by licking his upper lip.
Well, look, we had a helmet cam as a way of educating homeowners to the possibility that they got a peeker. You know, peeping Tom. What do you call a peeping Tom? A peep Tom or a peeker? And... what we did was go throughout the neighborhood in a very limited area, very, very limited area, and we would walk up to the window with a helmet cam on, and we'd stand there with the helmet cam on. If you have a camera on top of a helmet, you got to nod your head around and move your head to get the picture. You're not necessarily staring at it, but the camera is. That was misunderstanding number one right there.
What do you mean, man? I mean, if you're standing and looking at a bedroom window...
No, I wasn't looking. The camera was looking.
Okay, but it's on top of your helmet, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, you've got to aim the camera, don't you?
Yes, I do have to aim it.
Well, how do you know what to aim at unless you're looking?
Good point.
All right, okay. You know, I'll mark that one up on the wall for you. You won, me nothing. Good for you.
But what's the answer, man? I'm not looking to score points. I want to know what the answer is. Aren't you looking?
I'm looking. If I see a woman with her legs spread, I'm not looking to see what she's doing. But if her legs are spread and I'm pretty sure she's nude, then and there's a can of Gillette Foamy.
You know, I'm telling you.
Phil, you know, this is how you get your job.
I'm sorry.
That was uncalled. You're the one that encouraged that.
I have to agree, Phil. That was uncalled for.
Well, I'm sorry.
Dearest Henry.
Don't start jumping on me. Are you kidding me? How can you not laugh at that?
I think both of these men should be arrested.
I agree.
I think they should both be arrested. I think their organizations should be criminally investigated. I think that anyone that works for them should be investigated criminally. But I think both of them should be arrested. I'm sure that they sound like a couple of sick, twisted perverts. And I have no doubt in my mind that they have photographic evidence. They probably have film footage. They probably have photographs of God knows what. And you sitting there and laughing, Phil, only encourages it.
Wait. How does that encourage it? Those guys take themselves seriously. And they think what they're doing is real serious-ass security. And yeah, man, when he said that the woman's there, I'm sorry, folks, with her legs spread and there's a can of Gillette Foamy.
Yeah, it's kind of bad, Mr. Henry.
Oh, get it. You're the first guy that's going to laugh at something like that is you.
Yes, but he didn't laugh, Phil. He left you twisting in the breeze.
That's right.
All right, well, I apologize then, okay?
Thank you. That's all I was looking for.
You know.
Well, don't pout like a little boy.
I just find you people to be very, you know, that's a double standard. I'm going to say this. Santos is full of it, and so is this guy Fandango. And if this woman, Bobby Dooley, had, excuse me for saying this, Bobby, but if you had any brains at all, you'd know what this guy is doing, okay? You don't look in bedroom windows to help secure the residence. As far as this clown, Jay Santos, is concerned, if I see a can of Gillette Foamy, so...
Well, I was about to find out what he was going to say, and you went, ah! And then you had Bud hang up on him.
I hung up on him, Karen. You told me to.
I know, but what I'm saying is, are you kidding? What more do you have to listen to, man? The guy is telling me that he's not looking, but he sort of is. And yeah, she's got her legs spread, but I don't look to see if she's nude. There's a can of Gillette Foamy, so I draw the conclusion. What is this guy's world all about? I mean, it's... You know.
Well, then we agree.
Yes, we agree. Yes, we agree. I don't know why you're jumping.
That's all on account of the whole Gillette Foamy thing.
Yeah, that was where we, that's where, you know, you left us in the dust. That's where you went ahead on into Pervert City, and we stayed on the outer, on the other side of the city limits and just had sandwiches and waited.
Okay.
Well, it's a good way of putting it.
What do you mean, okay?
I went on into Pervert City and left you guys behind to eat sandwiches.
Yeah. You're going to go on into Pervert City and have your way with the women folk. We stayed back and had a sandwich.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's very colorfully put. Although you're wrong.
I'm wrong? Why?
Because I didn't go into Pervert City to have my way with the local women. I went on into Pervert City to investigate more.
Well, what do you need to know, Phil, when the city limits sign says Pervert City?
You know, you guys, there's only, like, another planet, maybe they understand what you're saying. I sure as hell don't. All right, coming back, just a couple of news notes that I think are fascinating. One of them is on Obamacare, and I know I don't want to do a lot of Obamacare talk, but this is about,
oh, boy. You really have to, huh?
Yeah, it's about Boehner, and we'll talk with you about that. And then, why did Canada ban pot? We'll talk with Jeff Dowder. Jeff, as you know, is a professor, a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. He's also a large, long-time proponent on the decriminalization and legalization of medical marijuana and is now leading an effort here in the state of California to legalize marijuana. We're going to talk with him about, this is a very interesting history. Why do you suppose Canada banned marijuana? It has, quote, nothing to do, I'm quoting the headline, nothing to do with science.
Well, they must have banned it because of why we banned it. Because of the Mexicans bringing it in.
Well, that is racist.
Well, that's partly true. That's partly true. What the general just said is partly true. But that's not the whole story, as Paul Harvey would say. All right, we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, I bet you didn't know, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't marijuana decriminalized in the United States in the 30s?
I think you're right, Phil. I've never smoked marijuana, so I don't pay much attention to those things.
That day was on account of they had Reefer Madness.
Yes, Reefer Madness was a film to show how marijuana would cause you to be sexually violent, to...
Yeah, but I'm talking about if you smoke marijuana, you'd want to have sex with, with an ugly woman, right?
Yeah.
No, they didn't say that, man. They didn't say that.
They didn't?
That's offensive.
They didn't say if you smoke marijuana, you're going to have sex with an ugly woman. That's that wasn't it, man. You know?
Yeah, well, that's what they did.
What? No, what are you talking about? Would you guys get your heads out of your asses? They talked, yes, it was hysterical. Anti-marijuana legislation here in the United States was hysterical. It was also based upon the fear that this was a drug being brought over the border by Mexicans who were considered to be of a sort of low moral or low morality. Now, if you think all of that is sounds almost prehistoric, wait till you get a load of Canada. Canada, I got a hold of this article, and it really blew me away. Canada's criminalization of marijuana, which took place in 1908, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just double-check here. Anti-drug laws in Canada. In 1908, the labor minister tabled a bill prohibiting the manufacture, sale, or import of opium except for medicinal purposes. That was Canada's first drug law. Penalties were light, even in 1911 when morphine and cocaine were rolled into the act. Maximum jail times stood at 1 year. That soon changed when a new social crisis brought the drug question back. In 1920, a drug panic coincided with even fiercer anti-Asian agitation. There were two hysterias intertwined. The history of drug use in Canada is inextricably tied to Canada's history of racism.
Well, that, I think, who was saying that?
This is a historian at a Canadian university, a woman by the name of Catherine Carstairs. Hysteria was highest on the West Coast. Newspapers churned out stories that obsessively chronicled the drug-induced downfall of previously upstanding white Canadians. Now,
I think that's a slander. Canada, as everyone knows, is far more progressive than America.
Oh, does everyone know that, Margaret?
Don't mock me.
Well, then don't sound so silly.
Yeah, what do you think, Canada? They don't like black people or something?
Black people are treated far better in Canada than they are here.
Wait, hold the phone, will you? Hold the phone, okay?
Well, Phil, you're going to have... Because I agree with Margaret, Canada is far more socially progressive. Everyone knows that.
No, not everyone knows that. Not everyone knows that. You see, if people knew anything about history, if they knew anything about how societies develop, if they knew anything about anything, then they wouldn't just go off half-cocked and talk about stuff that they don't know anything about, man. Canada, in the early 20th century, was gripped by an anti-Asian hysteria every bit, if not more virulent, than the one they had here in the United States. The anti-Chinese laws and anti-Chinese hysteria, which was very, very evident in Vancouver, in 1907, a rally of an organization called a xenophobic organization.
What's that mean?
They're afraid of xenophobia means they're afraid of
xenophobic means anti-foreign, anti-foreigner.
Are you sure?
Well, it's not anti-xeno.
Well,
in any event, xenophobic, the Asiatic Exclusion League. That was what they called their anti-Chinese league up there in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's like a tombstone when a guy had the anti-Chinese sign.
Yeah, exactly. You saw those signs all the time. And also in the movie Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven, it looks like some kind of a campaign poster on a wall somewhere that says anti-Chinese league. Until 1908 in Canada, it was possible to buy opium, cocaine, and morphine from a pharmacy. Prairie farmers once planted hemp as a windbreaker for crops. But in the early 1900s, the temperance movement was gaining momentum alongside growing hostility toward Asian immigrants. In 1907 in Vancouver, a rally of the xenophobic Asiatic Exclusion League boiled over into a riot. The mob, more than 10,000 white men, stormed the city's Chinese and Japanese enclaves, throwing some immigrants in the harbor and damaging every Asian business they could find. One local newspaper reported not a Chinese window was missed.
Yeah, and you'll notice it was white men.
Well, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say all the white women were as clean as a baby's ass?
Because, oh, hold on, General, you can't, don't.
Would you watch your language, please? I know you were in the army, but.
I forgive me, but that's what she's trying to say.
I think what, I don't think you're saying that, Margaret, are you?
Well, I'm saying it was white men.
I think the white men were speaking on behalf of a lot of, an attitude, a racial attitude among white people. When business owners ask the government for compensation, these are the Chinese business owners, ask the Canadian government for compensation, William Lyon Mackenzie King, then deputy labor minister, was sent to investigate. King was shocked to discover the claimants included legal opium manufacturers. Some Chinese groups asked for help discouraging use of the drug. King returned to Ottawa and wrote a report on opium, including a warning it was catching on with white women and girls. And as you well know, there isn't anything in the development of either our country or China or Canada or any Western country, there isn't anything that would send those white men reeling like the threat to their women.
What, you thought like a Chinaman was going to get him or something?
Don't say Chinaman, okay?
Well, that's essentially, they were afraid, Bud, you shouldn't say that, but they were afraid that the Chinese man would turn all these white women out and turn them into slobbering, just slobbering opium addicts in a skirt and 3-inch heels.
Well, whatever. I don't know if they had 3-inch heels, but yeah.
What do you mean you don't know if they had 3-inch heels?
I don't know if, what kind of, whatever.
Well, Phil.
Okay, they had 3-inch heels.
They were afraid that the Chinese would turn the white woman into a slobbering, drooling opium addict.
Yes, that's exactly right. And the white woman meaning not only the wives and mothers, but the daughters. So in 1908, the labor minister tabled a bill prohibiting the manufacture, sale, or import of opium except for medicinal purposes. Canada's first drug law was passed. Now, in the 20s came another fiercer anti-Asian agitation. Two hysterias were intertwined, the history of drug use in Canada and the history of racism. History was highest on the West Coast. Newspapers churned out stories that obsessively chronicled the drug-induced downfall of previously upstanding white Canadians and provided sinister depictions of Chinese drug dealers. In the Vancouver Sun... What, Bud?
Well, they made them all look like what? Like Charlie Chan or something?
Yeah, they probably did make them all look like these Charlie Chan...
Well, it wasn't Charlie Chan. It was Fung Ku, right?
I don't know. Who was the big evil guy?
Bill, it's like Master, the guy, Fung Chang.
Who's Fung Chang? Are you guys just making these names up? I remember the guy from Buck Rogers.
Who?
Buck Rogers.
That was outer space, Phil. We're talking about the planet Earth. Oh, wow.
Phil, there were no Chinese in outer space, not even in...
No, I know that, but there was that big guy with the thing, the mustache... In any event, you talk about the fear of the Chinese and the fear of the, quote, Asian horde. Take a look at those early Buck Rogers comics. The evil master lord of the universe was a Chinese guy.
What? There are no Chinese.
The cat was, he looked like he was Chinese. I ain't saying he came from China. He came from another planet. But he looked Chinese is all I'm trying to say, man. All right, Phil Hendry's show will be back here. We'll continue with this fine, wonderful, marvelous intellectual discussion. God. Master Cheng Fung. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Yeah. Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. And like that. All right.
Truth is our bitch and what else?
And we endeavor to entertain. We endeavor to the death to entertain. How about that?
Because if you just say truth is our bitch, so.
Yeah, I know.
Flirting with the sister. Yeah, redneck movie.
It is redneck, but. My kind of redneck. All right. Speaking of redneck, last night we were celebrating or talking about or whatever it was we were doing, Margaret, and I was almost sorry you weren't here. We were talking about the Starland Vocal Band.
Yes, I heard that.
You did. And Bobby was finding fault with the Starland Vocal Band because she'd heard that they were swingers, and that probably isn't true, but nonetheless, she was making comments about the two women being beasts, and if they ever got their hands on Steve, it would be a bad day for them.
Well, Bobby Dooley, as I think a lot of people know, is a blithering imbecile. And I say that with great respect, dear. You know I love you, but you're really a hopeless moron. And I think she knows that deep down. The Starland Vocal Band was a group of four people. Okay?
Yeah, I'm following you.
Yes.
Is everyone listening here? Because he's over there again with his finger in his nose.
No, I was listening. I just was itching something.
I'm listening.
All right. They had four people, and they played the guitars. All right?
Right.
Well, take it easy, Phil. I'm getting to it.
Well, what are you getting to?
Four people that played guitar and they sang. Okay, there. You want to be impatient about it?
Well, I think we know that.
I was going to tell you a little bit more, that two of them, Bill and Taffy, or Tooley, or I forget what her name is the blonde woman and the big, tall guy with the glasses, they wrote Take Me Home Country Road that John Denver eventually used, and John Denver was their mentor. And if you remember the song, Take Me Home, Almost Heaven, West Virginia.
Does she have to sing every time?
Excuse me.
Oh, hold on.
Yes, I do sing.
Yeah, it was painful.
You know, I thought it was very nice.
Thank you, General. If that thing over there says one more thing about my singing...
Take it easy, Margaret. You were a little flat there.
I was a little what?
You were a little flat. You went Almost Heaven.
Well, I was trying to... I was projecting. It's a beautiful song. Have you heard the song?
Of course I've heard the song. Take Me Home Country Road. Everybody's heard that. It's John Denver's song. Beautiful song. Love it.
Well, it was written by the two people from the Starland Vocal Band. Sky rockets in flight. Woo! You know how it goes?
God, man, you're right in my ear.
I'm going to kick his...
Hey! Watch it.
Tell him to back off of me, and I mean it, bud.
Again, you're doing a woo in my ear and everything.
She didn't do it in your ear, you big baby. She's across the table from you.
Anyway, it's too loud.
You know what, bud? You're too ugly. So why don't we compromise? I'll lower my volume if you can lower that face of yours.
All right. What's that mean?
Three guesses.
Lower that face.
So anyway, this song is a lovely song. Sky Rockets in Flight. Well, they wrote the song, and it was their only hit. They're very, very, I think they're very talented people. And Bill and Taffy wrote, as I said, the Take Me Home Country Road. John Denver was their mentor, brought their music to Windsong Records. They had the album. Now, here's something you may not have known. Starland Vocal Band had a television show.
I read where they had like a variety show.
Yes, they had a weekly variety show because of the success of that song. They won two Grammys. Now, guess who was on the show as an up-and-coming comedian?
David Letterman.
And were you looking at my notes?
Well.
Oh, I'm going to kick his...
Hey, bud, what are you looking at her notes for?
They were laying right out there.
Would you let me do it, please? David Letterman, yes, he was on the program.
I know that they had the... Now, I'll bet you anything... you know what? Why do I think it was ABC that had this?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't know why, but ABC always seemed to be the network that would do variety shows like this. You know, they would take some very hot act. ABC was still, in those days, trying to climb into some position of competitiveness with the other two networks. ABC had a variety of hit shows down through the years, but ABC was not consistently competitive with CBS or NBC. In fact, the big network then... was, I think it was NBC, wasn't it?
Well, ABC was starting to make its move in the 70s with Fantasy Island. You know Fantasy Island, don't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, what are you looking at me with the dead eyes for?
Yeah, well, just when you bring it up...
Yeah, am I talking to you? I don't think I am. Why are you looking at me with the dead, dull, doll's eyes?
Is that what Phil's doing? See, I don't know what you people mean by the dead doll's eyes.
I'm not looking at you with dead doll's eyes. I'm just saying that ABC had their hit shows, but they weren't across the board.
I didn't say across the board, Phil. They had, I know...
You can... Look, I'll tell you the hit shows ABC had back in the day. I'm talking 70s. Fantasy Island, Charlie's Angels. That was ABC.
No. That was CBS.
Oh, why don't you shut up, man? You don't even know what we're talking about, okay?
I think it was ABC. I think you're right.
Yeah, ABC was Charlie's Angels, Fantasy Island, a lot of fluffy stuff. In the 60s, they had Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, you know.
Oh, God. That stuff was such rubbish.
But they also, see, that's the thing about ABC. They would have a big smash breakout like The Fugitive. That was ABC.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. The Fugitive was on ABC. But ABC, you're right. They didn't have that consistent thing. And
well, can I get back to doing what I was doing and not sit here jaw-jacking this? Because who cares?
Well, I was just asking about the network. That's all.
Yeah, but Phil, no one cares. You know, we want to get down to the brand. Let's get down to cases about this Starland, the Starland vocal brand, or whatever it is.
Starland vocal band.
Starland Vocal Band.
Yes. So they had the show on ABC. David Letterman was one of the cast. Procter and Bergman from the old Saturday, or excuse me, from Firesign Theater were also in the cast. They were very funny. I think the network said, let's load as much talent as we can into this show and really give it a shot. And it, of course, it had the group itself. They were very charming. I think they were very engaging, but it just didn't take. And I think the reason for that was because they were not able to follow up the Afternoon Delight with a hit.
Now, why? What do you suppose? You know, obviously they were talented.
Well, they were very talented, but I think personally what got them was the song Afternoon Delight. Yes, it was the 70s, which was now a very freewheeling decade, but I think people looked askance at it. I think they said, you know, what are you singing? Oh, God, you know. Afternoon Delight. Well, everyone knew they were singing about someone leaving work and leaving your work on your desk for someone else to do so you can get home and grunt like an animal. You know, that's what I think happened there.
Really? That was a popular song.
Well, it was a popular song, but people also knew what it meant. It was, let's go home and sweat on each other. And, you know, no one in those days sang about having sex in the middle of the afternoon.
Well, I don't know what that means, you know.
What it means, what I just said.
You know, there was a song when I was a kid called Gloria. Do you remember that song?
Yes, it was filthy.
No, it was not filthy. What do you mean, filthy?
I go up to her room and she makes me, oh.
Well, all right. I mean, the song was about a guy, he digs this girl, he goes to her, she comes to his house, and they get it on. I mean, it's a teenage thing. It's a teenage romance thing. And I don't think that's happening at night.
Well, you don't know that for sure.
In any event, so are we really going to argue about this? I mean, So you're saying, Margaret, that the song, that the Starland Vocal Band was not able to follow up their success on their TV show because the song was about people leaving work on their desk to go home and grunt on each other.
I think that's a very harsh verdict, Margaret, that you pass on that song.
Well, it's my verdict. It may be harsh, but it's mine. Okay, General?
Well, yes, I understand.
Okay, good. You?
Yeah.
Good. You?
Yeah, fine. I mean, I'm not going to argue with it.
Argue with it?
I mean, you. All right, let's get Jeff Dowder on the line. We are going to take a break here. We'll have Dowder on the line to talk more about Canadian, the history of the Canadian pot laws, unless you have anything more.
I have a couple of more things I want to say about the Starland Broken Band. Not.
You said Starland Broken Band. Ow.
Hey.
You see, Bud, I can get to you before Phil can stop me. Are you aware of that?
I don't care.
Well, you will care.
No, you won't, Margaret.
Phil?
No, you won't, Margaret. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. 855-500-7445. We'll be right back. Now, this is Bill Carter, Phil Hendry Show, and philhendryshow.com. Listen to this guy's music. This guy is, I never heard of Bill Carter before, but here he's on the West of Memphis soundtrack.
Now, what's his name?
Bill Carter.
Is that the president?
No, that's not the president. What an idiot, man.
Are you an idiot or something?
Hold on.
When I come to see you, what will I bring? The wisdom of a poet, the color of a dream. And I leave with three roses made from a magazine. in the field of summer, turn in the fall, in anything made of paper, that's all.
Now, I'm playing this music. I can't play the whole song, but I never heard of this. He's a songwriter. He's on the West of Memphis soundtrack. I think Bill Carter's like my age. Just has been doing his thing for years and years, writing songs. And they interviewed him recently about the reality for songwriters and the publishing and copyright and all this stuff. He said, you know, I just keep writing. I just keep writing music, and I keep churning it out. And he said, if you're willing to be industrious and willing to, you know, write, you can get it done. But
why are you talking when we could be listening to that beautiful song? Turn it up.
Yeah, I'll turn it up.
Don't do that.
Be quiet, Phil. We want to hear it.
God.
Just shut up, Phil.
To see what's in your soul. Late at night, on an angel's wing, you hold on till tomorrow to see what it brings. Any news, no matter how small, in anything made of paper, that's all, that's all.
And he's a songwriter.
Well, that's absolutely lovely. And his name is
Bill Carter, and that's on the West of Memphis, which is the film that Peter Jackson made about the West Memphis Three. His film goes just a little bit further than the Lost in Paradise films, or Paradise Lost films, I should say, which were the HBO films. His film points to, I think I already told you guys, his film points to what he thinks is a viable suspect in the murders of those children that the three young men who were in prison for 17, 18 years and were eventually let out of jail for, that they got accused of. But Bill Carter is a songwriter with chops that go back, you know, decades. And I don't know, I would not say that he's a very well-known writer. I think he's becoming well-known.
Got kind of a funny voice.
Well, that doesn't matter, Bud. It's the pathos.
Yeah, the cat's. Well, who cares if he's got a funny? You know, he's got a funny voice. Bon Scott had a funny voice.
That's AC/DC. That's different.
And what is that?
Well, hold on. It was a metal band. It's why is it different?
Never mind.
No, not never mind. Bon Scott had a. I'm not saying Bon Scott had a bad voice. He had a great voice, but he had a weird voice.
Yeah, but...
Oh, you know, I don't want to talk about Bud and his degenerate tastes. I'm saying that the Starland vocal... And last night, by the way, when Dooley called them the Starland Bacon Band, she's got some nerve talking about them being a couple of hogs that are going to sweat all over her husband. I don't know, Bobby, if you're listening, but your husband Steve isn't all that, okay? God.
Well.
No, not well anything.
All right, well, Bud, do we have Jeff Dowder on the line?
Yeah, you ready? Hey.
Will you just put him on the phone, man? Don't, God, what a jackass.
Yeah. Okay, here he is. You're on.
Because of what they told me the other day, too.
Hey, Jeff, it's Phil Hendry.
What?
It's Phil Hendry.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and we're on the air?
Yeah, I'm waiting on Phil, if that's...
This is Phil. I'm Phil.
Okay, yeah, Phil, how you doing?
Good, good.
Hey, it's great to be on the show, finally.
Yeah, we haven't had you on in a while.
I know, I'm really happy to be on here.
Okay, we're talking about marijuana legalization, but not here in the United States. And we're not necessarily talking about the recent legalization or decriminalization. We're going all the way back to the beginnings in Canada.
Okay.
And Canada was a country, much like the United States, affected with a kind of a xenophobia when it came to immigrants. Canada's xenophobia, decidedly anti-Chinese.
America had an anti-Chinese league, too, yeah.
Okay. And Canada had this anti-Chinese hysteria early on. Now, what do you know about Canadian prohibition of marijuana? They're talking about it being primarily driven by racism.
Well, the thing about the prohibition of marijuana in the Canada areas is because there had not been, in the United States, there had not been a real investigative journalist research paper done that would have been commissioned by the government. That was not done, really, until the late 1930s, when there was a commission that was actually commissioned by I'm going to hope I get this guy's name right, Fiorello LaGuardia?
Fiorello LaGuardia?
Yeah, Fiorello LaGuardia. It was the LaGuardia Commission, and this was the mayor of New York, who decided, well, if we're going to have a illegal marijuana, why, you know, let's do a commission on it. And he did. The commission came back here in the United States with a very favorable report. And that favorable report was quashed by a guy by the name of Harry Anslinger. Harry Anslinger worked for the federal government. You might say that Harry Anslinger was the very first drug czar in the United States. He quashed it and squished it and everything. And
what do you mean by squash?
Well, it's not called squashed it. He quashed it.
Well, yes, it's called quashed, and he didn't squish anything.
Well, yes, he did. He quashed it and squished. I mean, that's just my read on it, but why you don't think he squished it?
Okay, he squished it. That's fine.
I don't know, you know.
Well,
I mean, if it quashed doesn't mean squashed, it means quashed.
I suppose, yeah, okay. You want me to throw out squished?
Do whatever you want, man.
I made a comment. You can do what you want, Jeff.
All right. I just like to say that it was quashed and squished.
Well, if you say that it has nothing to do with squished, why do you say that?
Because I just felt like doing it. God, man.
Okay, go ahead and do it.
All right. So in the 1930s, if you don't mind, it was squished and it got squished. Okay?
Yeah, it's fine, man. Keep going. God, don't dwell on it.
Hey, man, don't... So,
would you guys knock it off? It's fine, Jeff.
All right. So, what happened was in the late 1930s.
Now we only have a minute. Can you hold on?
Oh.
Well, dude, you know, it's a lot of this is your fault with you two jackasses arguing about whether it was quashed or squished.
You know, that's something that people should know. The term quashed does not mean squash. The term quashed is a legal term that is used by legal people, yes. Legal, I don't know, maybe I'm not saying it right.
You're saying it right. Quashed is quashed, and it doesn't mean squished or squashed. Okay. World-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back with more from Jeff Dowder on the history of the prohibition of marijuana in our two respective countries. I think it's kind of interesting. You would be surprised.
Okay, I looked it up right now. Squished means to step on something.
That's not the term. Quash.
Oh, okay.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com. And we got Jeff Dowder on the line. We're talking about marijuana and, you know, legalizing it and all that stuff. I'm not going to... what, Margaret?
You just belched, and you give me a hard time.
You know, what is it with the belching around here that everybody's got to pay attention to it?
Well, you're always pointing it out when I do it.
Yeah, because you're doing it loud.
You do, Margaret. You telegraph it like it's the, and now the President of the United States, belch. All right, Jeff?
Yeah, Phil, right here.
Okay, Jeff, let's get back to what we were talking about. You mentioned that there had been a report here, and the reason why marijuana was made illegal in Canada, we've been reading, is because there was a far greater reaction to foreigners, and there was an anti-immigrant hysteria in Canada, like there was in the United States, but it affected their drug legislation.
Well, because Canada, much, much sooner than America, way more than America, had a report, and they commissioned a report on whether or not marijuana, what was wrong with marijuana. Is it good? Is it bad? Or what have you? And the Canadian report came back saying that it was not that harmful, that marijuana was not, a narcotic, and it was not addictive the way opium was or some of these other drugs, okay? And so Canada had in their hands the evidence way sooner than America did that marijuana was not that bad, and yet they went ahead and made it illegal anyway, because they were afraid that marijuana was a drug being brought into the country by foreign Asians, Asian foreigners, and that it was a drug being used by Asians to turn out white women so that they put on, kimonos and started having sex with white men, and they thought they were Chinese or something, I don't know. And
all right, well, this is all speculation on your part.
Yeah, you don't know about that.
What do you mean I don't know about it, man? I mean,
what do you mean they're putting on kimonos?
Well, all I'm saying is that was what people were afraid of in Canada.
Canada, okay?
Yes, can we get the name of the country right? It's beginning to drive me ape that you can't...
Yeah, the name is Canada, son.
Oh, okay, General, sorry.
I just said it myself.
I know, but at least General Shaw is not coming down on me like I'm a bad person, like you do.
Oh, well, that's just so terrible. Your mother must have treated you poorly.
All right, can we stop?
Anyway, So,
in other words, what you're saying is Canada had a report, a comprehensive report on the effects of marijuana sooner. They commissioned it sooner, which shows, I think, probably a progressive way of thinking. But they, even with the proof, or at least the recommendation not being a negative one, they went ahead and made it illegal anyway.
Yeah, they went ahead and made it illegal anyway. And that labor minister who later became the prime minister of Canada, Labor Minister King, was the one who... came to Vancouver, like you were saying, and saw all these white women, getting turned out by Chinese laundry workers. And
what are you talking about, man?
Well, yeah, that I don't understand that.
Well, you were saying...
I was saying that the country was afraid of white women, daughters and wives, being corrupted by Asians using opium and possibly marijuana. You've got it so that they're being turned out by laundry workers.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, I'm a little far ahead of myself.
Yeah, I would say so, man. I would say that you're making things up.
No. Because, look, that was the fear.
Yeah, but that's a long way from saying it's actually happening.
Don't you know the difference? It's happening is one thing. The fear is something else.
Well, yeah, okay, that's true. I mean, I don't think it was happening, but that was the fear.
That they were going to be turned out by laundry workers.
Well, it was the only Asians they knew about. I mean, they'd be afraid they'd be turned out by, Asian, Asian telegraph operators if they had any. But the only ones they was familiar with was the ones that did dry cleaning. And
well, they didn't have dry cleaning back then, did they?
Look, folks.
I don't think they did.
Folks, this is beside the point. This is beside the point. Forget about whether it was they had dry cleaning. Okay?
Well, you're talking about Asian laundries.
You're the guy that said that the white Canadian, was afraid of their women, their daughters, and their wives being turned out, being made into prostitutes by Asian laundry workers. And that's about as asinine a thing as I've ever heard. Asians, okay.
All right. I mean, you know, but essentially my point is that was the fear.
Right. And so it was made illegal.
Now, Canada and the United States both have been in possession for the last, you know, 100 years, have been in possession with information and studies and so on and so forth that marijuana is not a corrupting kind of drug like that. It's a drug that, you know, it's like any other drug, I guess. The use of it needs to be controlled, but making it illegal makes no sense at all when you've got tens of millions of people on both sides of the border using it. So it continues to be a drug, the prohibition of which doesn't make any sense. And nonetheless, I think it has a lot to do with the liquor lobby. I think it has a lot to do with very, very uninformed legislators. And it also has a lot to do with law enforcement. We're never going to get marijuana legalized in the United States until law enforcement is in favor of it.
What do you mean? Do they get to smoke pot?
No, I'm not saying they got to smoke pot, but I'm saying you got to have law enforcement.
I agree. I agree with Jeff. I think that that's a big, big plus. The American people ultimately have to be convinced of this, and the American people are not going to be convinced of the wisdom of legalizing weed unless law enforcement weighs in on behalf of that, or at least is rather noncommittal. But if law enforcement is against it, they're not going to be digging it at all. They just will not. All right, Jeff Dowder, thanks so much for what happened to Jeff.
You hung up.
What is it with guests around here just hanging up before I'm done with them?
I think he just decided that he'd had enough.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you, bud. You got to prepare these guests better. They don't just hang up when they've had enough.
Well, he said, you know, I'm going to leave now because I don't want to talk anymore.
Well, isn't that nice? Doesn't he say goodbye?
I say goodbye to me.
He has to say goodbye to the host, you dingbat. Don't you understand that?
You know something, bud? You know what? I'm beginning to rethink what I always tell people, no, you're fine mentally. Your head going through that tree only affected your motor skills. But now I think, you know, your IQ really hit...
What?
I just think it did. For you to sit there and go, oh, he got done talking, so he hung up. Let these people know.
What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to say, oh, no, you can't hang up on account of Mr. Henry wants you not to hang up?
Yeah, that's what you say. That's what you say.
And I have your go-ahead on that.
Yes. You can go ahead and use my name, in fact, and tell them, don't hang up yet. Mr. Henry doesn't want you to hang up.
Okay. That's what you say.
Well, bud, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, as long as you're giving me the green light.
Hey, bud. Enough. Yes. It's something that any producer, any screener, anybody would know. Don't let the guest get away until we're done with him. Okay? For you to sit there and have...
He's back.
Jeff, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Did you hang up?
Yeah, I didn't want to talk anymore, but he just called me back and said you have several questions.
No, I don't have any questions.
Oh, okay.
Well...
Would you let me... All right, tell you what, I'm going to... All right, thank you very much, Jeff Dowder, and thank you, bud, for whatever it is you do, and I haven't figured that out yet.
Now, that's the smartest thing. I'm going to... Yay!
Why are you applauding that?
That's the smartest thing I've heard him say.
And when you say him and you're pointing at me, it's...
I didn't mean to offend you.
All right, so that's the... I thought that was very interesting. And the reason why I think things like that are interesting is they tell us more about our the nature of our societies, you know, because, again, there's an attitude which, you know, my people are from Canada. You know, I mean, my family came from Canada to the United States in 1949, my father and my mother. And I was born here in 1952. My kid sister was born a year later. My older brother and older sister are from Canada and became American citizens. My folks became citizens within 5 years of arriving here. I'll never forget, in fact, I think I even have some vague memory of my mom studying to be a citizen because I would ask her questions about it. But they came from Canada, and so I've got, you know, I have ties to the old country there.
You're like an immigrant and stuff.
Yes, you're almost like the Japanese Nisei.
Yeah, but like I was saying the other day, it doesn't quite... by the way, did I let you know that it's Daniel Inouye? Or, excuse me, Inouye. That's what they wanted me to say.
Yes, I saw a number of comments on Facebook. People said you carved the senator's name a new ass. His name is Daniel Inouye.
Okay, I apologize if I mispronounced it, but through that whole show, through the entire drunk history that I did, I was pronouncing it Inouye, and nobody corrected me. And I'm not criticizing drunk history. I think they know better as to how the name is pronounced, and I'll go you one better than that. I watched the Watergate hearings when I was but a pup of 20, watched it on TV every day. Why? Because I was unemployed. Why? Because I was smoking too much pot. I'm kidding. No, I wasn't. But I was unemployed, and I was watching every day, and every time they went, Senator Inouye, and nobody, Inouye didn't say to them, hey, how about not butchering my name, okay? I mean, I've got one arm, man. You want to carve my name up, too? So,
Well, Phil, they're being polite.
Polite? How can you not pronounce a guy's name right on a Senate subcommittee? Well, anyway. All right, so we're coming back here in just a few moments here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com to kind of close things out. Be right back. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. I had to kick in the afternoon delight there.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Take it easy, Margaret. Anyway, welcome back here. Speaking of insomnia, turn the fan down. Thank you. Speaking of not being able to sleep, I was just talking to Nikki because she's a Twilight. Who isn't a Twilight Zone fan? And I know it's an old show, and I know that it everybody's that likes that show has seen a million of them. But Serling must have had issues with sleep too, because I think he had the same issues that I have. Sleep is a loss of control, and a lot of us that have sleep problems have a fear of losing control. It's not unlike one's fear of flying. People that are control freaks, and I have to admit that there's probably a large component of my personality that's like that, are afraid of flying and are afraid of falling asleep because it is a complete loss of control. It's giving control over to something or someone else.
Well, when you go to sleep, what are you giving it over to like a boogeyman or something?
No, but you're just losing control.
Yeah, you just don't have any control. So when you're sleeping, you're like, "Where am I going? What's going to happen to me?" You know, I'm sleeping, and oh God, yeah. I mean, I've had dreams where I know I'm dreaming. I don't know how many people that happens to. Some people I'll say that to, and they go, "Oh yeah, I've had that." And other people I'll say that to, and they go, "Wow, that never happens to me."
Where you know you're dreaming?
Where I know I'm dreaming, and I'll be in this dream. As soon as I know I'm dreaming, I generally wake up within a few seconds because the whole It's like the whole thing.
Well, there's no point to it. In other words, you realize you're dreaming, and then the other part of you says, well, then screw this. What's the point? Because he...
What do you mean, he?
Well, there's two yous at that point. There's the one that was sleeping and enjoying itself and having a great time, and then there's the other you, which is a busybody, nosy SOB, if you'll pardon me for saying this, And that one goes, ooh, we're dreaming. And the other one that was having a lot of kicks and laughs says, well, that's the end of that.
I see. So there's a conflict there, huh?
You might say that, yes.
How do you know this, General? Did you study it?
No, it makes sense to me.
Well, I don't know. But the busybody, nosy one.
Yeah, there's the dreaming you that's having a ball. You're dreaming and you're sleeping and you're relaxing and you're re-energizing, and along comes your pain in the ass self.
Okay, I get your general point. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but there was a Twilight Zone that I will never forget, and it totally. You got to believe that whoever wrote it, they had sleep issues because. This is one where the guy doesn't want to fall asleep because every night he has the dream of the lady on the roller coaster.
Oh, I know that one. And he's afraid of a heart attack. Or he's afraid she's going to kill him.
Yeah, he's afraid of this woman on a roller coaster, I think. And he doesn't want to go to sleep. And he hasn't slept because he's afraid, I know tonight's the night she's going to kill me. And so he finally finds his way to a psychiatrist.
Yeah, that's where he should have gone the first time.
Bud, this is not a normal, it's like the Twilight Zone. It's like a fantasy thing. And sure enough, he falls asleep when he goes in there, and she has... did he fall asleep, or did he jump out of the window? I forget which.
Well, he dreams that he jumps out of the window.
That he's in the doctor's office?
Yes.
No, that's not. What are you people? You're high on a mixture of chemicals. I remember that one.
Excuse me, can I... I don't take drugs.
I'm... Margaret, I'm just used... I don't mean it.
Didn't mean it.
In that one... Oh, forget it.
No, in that one, he comes into the doctor's office. He's dreaming he goes into the doctor's office. I'm almost sure he dreams he goes into the doctor's office and jumps out of the window or something.
Well, he dies in the dream, and as a result, he dies in real life.
Yes, but he dies in real life, having come into the doctor's office, laid down on the couch, as people did in those days for psychoanalysis, and falls asleep.
Yes, so she killed him.
What do you mean she killed him?
She didn't kill him. He fell asleep.
Well, he had a heart attack in his sleep, okay?
Yeah, because she went into his dream and killed him.
No, man, no. She didn't go into his dream and kill him. He died most likely because he was just exhausted and had a heart attack as the result of the lack of sleep. Yes, you're supposed to sort of think that she was in the dream and killed him because that's what he was afraid of happening. But the thing that probably killed him, because if you look at the Twilight Zone, it's always kind of something kooky and spooky and weird, but I don't think anybody ever comes out and says, wow, you know, something supernatural. Well, maybe they do.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course they do. The Twilight Zone. Let me tell you something about Serling, because I know something about him, because there was a friend of mine that was stationed with him in the Did you know he was a paratrooper?
Yes, I did.
All right. Serling was a real kooky guy that wasn't playing with a full deck, and a couple of guys I knew that were in the same parachute regiment with him. Now, he was a much older man than you or I, but he was in a parachute regiment in WW2, and he was a real kook. Strictly abstract, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's my point.
Okay, he was a kook and he was abstract.
Yes.
Okay, so what?
Well, what do you think is going to come out of the brain of some kooky cat like that? He's going to cook up some kooky, cooked up kook.
Just keep on alliteratively hitting those K's, okay?
Well, I'm trying to communicate to you that Serling was a kook ball. And the things that he cooked up were kooky, yes.
Okay, so, and they weren't cookie cutter.
You know what? Go to hell.
Wow!
General!
No, I'm sorry.
Go see if he's okay.
Hey, General, it's okay.
No.
Look, he told me to go to hell? God! What is with everybody around here? Learn some manners, okay?
You learn some manners.
I mean, wasn't he trying to be alliterative?
Well, he's going kooky, cookie cutter, cuckoo, cuckoo. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't go cuckoo, ca-choo.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. He was a kooky cat, but he wouldn't want to do anything cookie cutter, cuckoo, ca-choo.
Yeah, well, whatever. So I think that that's what happened. I think in that dream...
Hold on. Wait, I'm back. What do you mean cuckoo, ca-choo? Is that drug stuff?
No, it isn't. It's a beetle thing. Go have your vanilla wafers. Yeah, so Serling had a great many. And then the other one that he did that I thought was just phenomenal was, oh, God, this one was great. It was the guy who has a dream that every night at midnight he's executed.
Oh, that he's in the courtroom.
Yeah, man, it's different every night.
And every night it's different. The executioner is the judge. In another dream, he's the lawyer. In another dream, he's the defense attorney. And this guy is afraid of it striking midnight. Actually, it does strike midnight, and they keep putting him to death. And he keeps telling them in the dream, don't you realize you've already done this? I don't know.
Well, that's the one. It was Dennis Weaver.
Yeah, that's exactly who it was. It was Dennis Weaver, the same guy that was in that movie Duel that Spielberg... I only say that because some people may not know who the hell we're talking about. He was the guy that drove the car in Duel, Steven Spielberg's first movie.
That wasn't Steven Spielberg's first movie, man. Sugarland Express was.
Sugarland Express was his first full-length movie theater movie. His first movie was Duel.
What? What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about the fact that Sugarland Express was his first movie in a movie theater.
What was?
Sugarland Express.
What was that?
It was a great movie, man. I love that movie. From that movie came the Citizens Auxiliary Police. All right, folks, that's all we can do. That's all the damage we can do in this this marvelous 3 hours. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Don't forget to go over to our website, philandryshow.com. We'll have the show log up for you. Also, we have gift subscriptions to our website. You got to get those for the Christmas time cheer of the Phil Hendry fan in your family. And what else? All kinds of things ahead, man. All kinds of groovy things ahead. The Phil Hendry Show. Until tomorrow night, Dick Clark, so long.